Okay, here we go. Hour number two. We're going to go over to across the sea, let's just put it that way, and talk to one of the most legendary American patriots of them all, David Duke, who is heard on the Rents Radio Network Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, and again, 12 to noon. Noon to 1. And that will be continuing for another month at least. I'm going to move him to an hour earlier. Okay, David Duke is with us. And by the way, I should mention that not only can you hear him live 8 to 9 Pacific, but you can hear him anytime you want to on our instant archive services with all of our programs on the network. So you can listen to David anytime you choose. David, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Rents. Jeff, it's great to be with you. And it was nice to hear Dr. Twally. He's one of my favorite people, my fellow Louisianian from Lafayette. And if he's still listening, I wish him the very best.
Hesham is from Louisiana?
Absolutely. Well, he's not from Louisiana.
I know, but I mean, he was there.
But, I mean, he's from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I made many trips to be on his public broadcast program, television show, and he has just been such a wonderful voice, not simply for the Palestinian people, but for the American people, because the problems of Zionism are not just, it's not the conquering of Palestine that's even the biggest world problem. And that's a big problem, obviously, and horrible what's happened to the Palestinian people, but they've conquered the United States of America.
Exactly.
They literally have gain control and domination over our academia, our media, our government, and our finance of this country, and they basically dictate to us these days, unfortunately.
Coming up on the 100th year anniversary of the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, which really was the end of the country. That was the formal end of it. Of course, it ended before that, of course, but they formalized it with the Federal Reserve Act.
Well, that's right. We call it the Zio Club Fed, right? Because, I mean, over the last two regimes, which, by the way, they always span even Republican and Democratic presidents. I mean, everybody else in terms of any appointment of government is always kind of switched out
right.
with the new regime. But that's because they're the dominators. Greenspan, the former head of the Federal Reserve, did a program on PBS when he said that, and this is what he said. In fact, he was asked, you know, who are you responsible to? Are you responsible to the president? And he literally said it. I have it in one of my videos. He says, quote, he says, no, this is the one agency in government that's not responsible to the president. The president cannot tell us what to do. The Congress cannot tell us what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these are the people who print our money.
Yeah.
In the last bailout was $22 trillion. And that's what, according to Borofsky, the Treasury investigator who was doing this, this is the United States government figure. The Federal Reserve gave away over $20 trillion of your money. That's a tax because it affects the value, of course, of the money in our pocket. And that was done without any congressional fiat, without any presidential
no oversight, no restraint, nothing. See, when Greenspan said that, he was simply mouthing in our faces the obvious. This is not a federal agency. It is extra governmental. It is above the United States government.
Right.
And he made no bones about it. It's simple. They don't even obfuscate, hide. There's no stealth. They know there's very little pushback anymore. They just spew it right in our faces.
Well, we have been conquered by the ultimate racism, by a tribalism, really. Zionism is simply the latest manifestation of it. And they have conquered America just as they conquered Palestine. They conquered America in a different manner by deception and bribery and really conquering the media and then therefore controlling our minds. I'm thinking we need a new movie. I really like the old science fiction film Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We should have a new one called Invasion of the Mind Snatchers.
I mean, why not? That's what they've done through the media. That's the easiest way to do it. And the technology goes far beyond simply looking at talking pictures on a screen now. It is insidious. It is everywhere. And these people do not miss a trick. You said something very important. This is a tribal issue. This goes back 2,000 years or more. When Theodor Herzl concocted modern Zionism in the 1880s, 1890s, it simply was a new coat of paint on the same old mechanism, same old thing.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. We've had the same problem long before the Zionist state. I mean, Jesus Christ faced the same problem. If you really look at the New Testament and read it with open eyes, of this elite and this powerful elite and corrupt elite. But we have the same thing going on. And I think there's a lot of disinformation. And I love the fact that you and I are getting to the core issues that so many avoid. I mean, we always hear about the different conspiracy issues. I'm just about finished my new book. I'll have it out in just a few weeks now. And I don't know what the title was going to be, but yet I haven't quite decided. In fact, you gave some good input to me when I spoke to you yesterday. But it's basically going to be called The Zionist Conspiracy because it's really about the ultimate conspiracy. We always hear about the Alex Jones style conspiracy of the elite, who are the rich people of the world in partnership with each other to control the world. And he always makes a point of saying that these are, there are some Jews involved, there's Gentiles involved and so forth. But that's totally.
Yeah, it's misdirection.
Untrue.
It's all misdirection.
It's not
very
a
clever,
conspiracy
but it's not true.
Of the rich. It is a tribalist Jewish based conspiracy, and there are Gentiles involved, but the Gentiles are servants, and the Jewish extremists are the masters. And you can see that in so many ways. I mean, Israel's allowed to preserve its state. Israel is about, quote, a Jewish state, totally racist. Well, Europeans basically are being driven to destruction. You can criticize, obviously, any nation, any society, any person, but you sure can't criticize the Jewish extremists that dominate our government, that control our Federal Reserve, that control our politics. And that's the real issue. That's the real conspiracy. People want to talk about trilaterals and Bilderbergers and CFR, and they want to talk about all these other things. Those are just tools. That's all they are. They're just tools of a,
right,
as you said, a more than 2,000-year-old supremacist ideology. And one thing I've just recently done is I've completed a lot of research, also aided by a very brave Jewish individual, because there are some Jews that oppose Jewish supremacism. There are some Jews that actually have deserted or defected from the Zio supremacists and toward humanity. And one of those guys is Ron Unz, who's the editor of American Conservative. He wrote a paper mm-hmm. called The Myth of American Meritocracy. And in this paper, he
now
basically
Hold on right there. The idea of merit. In other words, let's rephrase that for people. Meritocracy. Merit mm-hmm. meaning deserving. Have you earned it? Do you belong in an elite or otherwise significantly minor group of special people? Merit. Do you have the merit? Have you worked? Do you earn it? Are you deserving of it? Okay, go ahead.
Well, some amazing figures. You know, the Ivy League and Harvard University, of course, is the main university of America, is the ticket to incredible success. In fact, nothing affects your life in terms of your earning power, how you rise in corporate America, finance America, media America, government America, more than graduating from the elite universities. It affects your whole life. And the truth is, and this is amazing things, the Jewish extremists who are controlling our government, controlling our media, they have completely seized control over the elite academia. And a perfect example is Harvard. Now, European Americans are approximately 68%, dropping fast, unfortunately, 68% of the American population. Our leading university, the overwhelming leading university in the United States, is Harvard University. And it was a university that European Americans founded, Christians founded. Today, the most powerful leading university of America is not 68% European American. It's 20% European American. Jews who are 1.8% of the college-age students are literally 25% of the student body of Harvard. And the interesting thing is, if you gauge this by merit, European Americans by merit, which you can find out easily by the National Merit Scholarships, European Americans, who are, again, almost 70% American, not counting the tremendous amount of diversity that we have in America, and universities are supposed to be diverse these days, right? They're 20%. And if the people of quality, the highest students are 68%, but they're still 20%. So Jews are overrepresented in Harvard University more than their merit, allows or would suggest, by 15 times, 1,500%. You know, if Jews were discriminated against in the universities the way European Americans are discriminated against, Jews would be a fraction, a small fraction of 1%.
It has always been thus. That's just the way they ratchet their way into control and domination. Just to repeat as we slide into the break here, Jews are admitted to Harvard, you heard David say it, at 15 times, 1,500% the ratio of equal or better qualified European American students.
That's correct.
And 7.5 times or 750% higher than equal or better qualified Asian American students.
That's correct.
All right.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's stunning.
And this is totally suppressed by the Jewish media. It is, and they talk about the quota system of the 1930s,
yeah,
where Jews were limited at Harvard to 15%. Well, 15% of the population was a 500% overrepresentation.
That's
again,
right. Exactly.
If Europeans would be that, you know, there would be Jews would be less than 1% of the Harvard body.
Hold on.
Amazing what's going on, but this is all hidden. But we're gonna expose it, right?
Stunning. We'll do our best. Facts are facts, and there they are. David's article can be seen at davidduke.com, top left column. You'll see it right there. I also have it in headlines at rents.com, and we'll be right back. Talk about equal opportunity in this country. What a myth. If you're a member of the tribe, you got it made. Simple.
It is absolutely just a ruling ethnic supremacist group. And that's what people have to understand. You know, Galal Atzmon is a Jewish individual that I have a lot of admiration for. And the Jews I really admire are not only the ones that ostensibly oppose Zionism, but are the ones that also recognize that Zionism could not exist, and that the crimes against the Palestinian people could not exist, and the crimes against the American people in these Zio wars we've been fighting overseas could not happen except for the power of Jewish tribalism. If you don't fight Jewish tribalism or this Jewish networking and racism that favors themselves over everybody else and puts their own agenda first, then you cannot. There's no possible way that you can defeat Zionism. Zionism is supported by this. I'll give an example. You know, one of the major Jewish organizations is called the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, and it's the 50 largest Jewish advocacy organizations on earth. And these are multi-million dollar, for the most part, organizations that are international, like the American Jewish Committee, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, B'nai B'rith. You can just go on and on and on. American Jewish Congress, many other organizations.
SPLC.
SPLC isn't part of those groups, but it's definitely it's part of those same supremacists.
It sure is. Yeah.
But the thing is, these 50 largest groups, they're all Zionists. Some are a little more liberal as far as what their policy should be. Most all of them, though, that are not in favor of the status quo in Israel, are in favor of, quote, a two-state solution, meaning an entirely pure Jewish state, you know, and the suppression over 75-80% of Palestine, which they stole from the Palestinian people. But the issue is this. The entire quantity of what we call organized Jewry, If you take the synagogues, there are obviously tens of thousands of synagogues all over the world. There's not three or four dozen synagogues in the entire world that take an open position against Israel. I mean, that's just the reality of life. I often hear that some Jews are anti-Zionist, but boy, they're in Israel and they're supporting the Israeli, you know, state. And even if they just, even they give it some bad words, they're there. You know, they yeah. haven't moved out of the
no,
land.
An Israeli first, or are you just, you know,
exactly.
You're gone.
So the issue is this. I mean, the Jewish tribalism, which has led to their complete takeover of academia, as I talked about earlier, of media, of government and finance.
They control all the administrations of all of those elite Ivy League universities you mentioned, almost of course they do. They brag about this. So the massive discrimination against European Americans that we've mm-hmm. talked about is orchestrated completely by this tribal Jewish mentality, and there's no arguing it. It's as David writes in his article, it's not do-gooder whites who are committing this crime against European Americans. It is completely right. driven by Jews and for Jews. Look, these are just the facts. There's nothing racist about what we're talking about here. These are facts. Now, we don't see these facts in the American media because it is controlled, owned, and operated by the very people who are perpetrating this outrage, this discriminatory, racist outrage.
Well, you know, there's a book called The Chosen, which is about how people in the Ivy League are chosen in America because they have the tickets to the ultimate power in America. It's written by a Jewish guy named Carabel, a very praised book by the New York Times. In there, he talks about how the Jews faced a quota of 15% of Harvard back in 1930 in an area of the country that was 98% white, perhaps 3% Jewish. They had 15% quota. You know, that's 500% over representation, you know, than their numbers. Yet all universities today, according to our, you know, the media, according to their statements of principles, are all devoted to, quote, diversity, a reflection of the demographics of America. Well, Harvard's no reflection demographics of America. In fact, at Harvard University, the Jewish students, the largest single plurality, again, 1.8% of the American population of this leading university that affects everything in our government, media, society, this tiny 1.8% of the population has the biggest plurality, and Harvard, out of student funds, even has special Jewish cafeterias for Jewish food, and the food for the Jewish cafeterias costs twice that of the non-Jewish cafeterias for.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. They have Jewish only, essentially, cafeterias there.
Well, you know, they don't say that no.
There's no sign up, but that's the unwritten
Jewish, but it's
the unwritten rule.
Produce, and yes, back a year and a half ago, they literally had signs put up in front of the cafeterias for Jews at Harvard, saying that understand this is a cafeteria for Jewish students and Jewish dietary things, and that and you know you're not allowed to come here unless you're. Specific, if you're non-Jewish, unless you're specifically invited by a Jew. Now, this is again, these cafeterias are paid for by student funds at large, right? Well, that caused such an uproar that they end up having to take the sign down, but they put up a new sign saying, this is a Jewish facility for Jewish dietary values and Jewish interests, and we would appreciate if you'd respect that. That's kind of like a restaurant. Could you imagine a restaurant in America saying, you know, that didn't allow African Americans in, and then came out with a sign and said, well, we've got to accept them now, but please respect the fact this is a white restaurant. Could you
amazing.
Imagine that?
That's just amazing.
But it goes on at Harvard. I mean, it just mm-hmm. goes, and it goes on in our society, you know.
So much for the liberal elite, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's beyond human belief. It goes, and yet these universities are supposed to be about, you know, diversity and all these things representing the public, and they're
equality,
even against,
equal opportunity, sure. Yeah.
It's Jewish domination, it's Jewish extremism, and as I said, you know, whether or not these Jews, okay, are Zionists are anti-Zionist. And again, the anti-Zionists are a tiny percentage, and they don't really have an organization. There's about one Jewish organization, or a couple of them, that are ostensibly anti-Zionist. At least they say they are. But they themselves, as Gilad Osman says so well, a former Israeli himself, they totally skew the debate, and they will not say a word, and they will not oppose the Jewish tribalism that gives the empowerment. If Jews are empowered in terms of their money and finance, their media, their government, then Zionism, that's why Zionism gets it's billions and billions of dollars of your tax money out there, everybody listening. That's why they get it. That's why we fight their wars. That's why Americans, 400,000 actually, Americans have had brain damage in the Iraq war and Afghanistan. Brain damage, according to the Pentagon.
That's right. All right, stand by, Dave. We have to take a break on that note. We're not only fighting their wars, but those wars are financed. Both sides of those wars ultimately are usually invariably financed by Jewish banking interests. They're always making money on death and suffering. This is the way the world has been run. All right, back in a minute. Okay, and we're back.
Jeff, you know, an interesting part of this is as these Jewish extremists have collaborated their power or consolidated their power, for instance, in academia and in government, they're now getting very, very brazen in just trying to take it all. For instance, I'll give you an example. Over the last 6 to 10 years, not only have European Americans continued to drop unbelievable, I mean, like I say, 20% of Harvard, 68% of the population, and you remember now that every founder of Harvard University and every discipline of our universities in America, law, right, architecture, literature, English literature, and other aspects, all these disciplines that were the foundation science of the American academic establishment were all created by white Christians. I mean, literally, practically 100% were the founders of these universities, and now they're reduced to a tiny percentage, fewer European American non-Jews than there are Jews, who are only 1.8% of the student body. And as I said, this is not based on ability. The old argument is that, well, the Jews are there because they're smarter. Well, the truth is, smarter white Gentiles and others are discriminated to the tune of 15 times. Jews are 15 times more represented than their ability warrants. And the interesting thing is, this is a very fascinating aspect of it, every other group over the last 6-7 years that they're consolidating their power and feeling their oats, every other group has dropped. Actually, African Americans have dropped at Harvard.
And backing it all, David... Ben, yeah. Excuse me, I got to get in here with this. There's
sure.
a term called PSYOP, psychological operation.
Yep.
I suggest one of the greatest PSYOPs of modern history is how the tribal ethic has been perpetrated on the American public as being one of victim. They're victimized. We should feel sorry for them. When in point of fact, they are our masters. They own everything. They're not discriminated against. The reverse is true. Now, if that isn't a successful PSYOP, I don't know what is.
You know, there's so many. Dr. Patrick Slattery is often a guest of my program, and he's been a college professor at one of the elite Ivy League schools. And he has a good friend who is at a local high school, and the friend's son had a perfect 800 score on SAT math score. Mm-hmm. And an almost perfect score on the other side, verbal score, and perfect grades. And his Jewish counselor at the high school, he wanted to apply to an Ivy League school. His father was a professor. And the counselor said, oh, don't waste your time. You really can't get into there. And he couldn't get into any of the Ivy League schools with almost perfect SAT scores and a perfect academic records. He also spoke a number of different languages, so he's exactly supposed to be the ideal guy. Why? Because less deserving Jews were put in ahead of him in the school. That's just the reality of life. And of course, this affects a young person's life. These are real lives at stake. I mean, if you discriminate against in a job, that's bad enough. but you can get another job or find another career or whatever. But if you're the school that you're allowed to go to, the quality of the school affects your entire earning for your entire life and your positions. You go to Harvard, for instance, you graduate there with a graduate degree, you could teach at practically any university. They'll scream to come get you as a professor. You're in the fast track. You're in the fast track for anything. The financial institutions of New York hire from there. Now, if Harvard administrators, and by the way, this is proven by the Jews themselves, if Harvard administrators are discriminating vastly against non-Jews and promoting unjustified Jews, well, what do you think happens in the financial world in New York? What do you think happens in media? You know, obviously in the private sector of these privately owned companies, you think they're not going to discriminate? They have a lot more leeway even than semi-public financed institutions of higher education. You think the Jews are not going to favor their own and promote their own and keep this all in the family, so to speak? It's just
look at any major university and look at the sciences, for example. Look at the departments, the department heads. Just look, and the majority, in almost every case, the overall majority is without question Jewish American.
Well, a perfect example is Elena Kagan, who is, by the way, a woefully unqualified Supreme Court justice.
Ever unqualified.
Yeah. Her whole life was greased because of the fact he's part of the Jewish the Jewish elite, you know. And in fact, at Harvard, she was appointed by the Jewish head of Harvard at the time, Lawrence Summers, and as head of the Harvard Law, which is the most important law school in the United States. I mean, just incredibly important on everything. So many justices have come there from there. So many laws have been written from there. So many important positions and appointments have been done from there.
Right.
Half of her appointments at Harvard University, half of her appointments for faculty were from fellow Jews, fellow members of her tribe. I mean, you know, and again, as we pointed out earlier, the study by Ron Unz, who's, you know, actually a Jewish defector, former writer for the Wall Street Journal, shows that these Jews who are being appointed and selected for Harvard are not deserving by merit. It's completely a racist selection process. Now, the same thing is true with, and I really want to do this before we run out of time, to get into the whole conspiracy theories and talking about, well, who's the real elite? You know, who are the people that really control things? You know, just as the Jewish elite, and whether they're Zionists or not, doesn't make any difference, because again, it's a Jewish tribalism. They support their fellow Jews. They don't stop to say, well, are you sending money to Israel today or not? You understand? They support their fellow tribal members. And they at the top support Israel and all the major Jewish organizations. Again, the 50 largest in the world support Israel. So Jewish tribal racism and discrimination enables the power of Zionism, not only the Zionist power in Israel, but the Zionist power over our media and government and so forth. Now, a lot of people like Alex Jones talk about some sort of an elite conspiracy, right? The conspiracy of the rich. And they always point out, well, there are many Gentiles involved, and they talk about the Bilderbergers and the Trilaterals and the CFR and all these things, as if Gentiles and Jews are somehow like equal partners. It's just a kind of a conspiracy of money. But it's not like that at all, Jeff. I mean, the truth is, it's Jewish masters and Gentile servants. And no matter how rich a Gentile is, right, he knows what he can say and what he can't say about that Jewish tribalism. If the Gentiles were the masters, I don't think the Jews would be getting the special privileges and being discriminating against that Gentile's own heritage, his own people. I don't think that we'd be in these crazy wars. I'll give an example this way. Let's take the rich people of the world. Let's the richest people. Let's take the biggest corporations of the world. Perfect example. The two biggest are Apple and Microsoft. And Apple and Microsoft, they don't benefit from these Zio wars that the trillions of dollars cost. They'd be much better off if people had money in their pocket to buy iPads, right? And buy Microsoft software and buy those right. kind of things. They're not benefiting from the ripoff of the international bankers. They produce real products. They produce computers and software. They don't just shift money around like the financial institutions.
That's durable goods. Yep.
So they're not, you know, they don't benefit for that. But if Microsoft tomorrow said this is evil, what the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians, this is wrong what they're doing with Goldman Sachs ripping our companies off and the world off, making the value of our possessions in the world and our assets of our company less valuable because the Fed's just printing money and giving it to these Jewish bankers. If they did that tomorrow, they know that they would be destroyed because of the tremendous Jewish weight in federal judges, the Jewish weight in the Justice Department.
Oh, they'd be sliced and diced. Hold on, if you would.
The Justice Department would file a antitrust action,
easy.
Whatever, against Apple or Microsoft, and demand they be divided up if they dared to stand against them.
Yep.
And so that's the proof of who runs things. It's not a partnership of Jews and Gentiles. It's not some sort of an elite banking. In fact, most of the people of wealth in the world are, in fact, Gentiles. Most of the people are well. But their policies, they're not helped by these crazy wars. They're not, there's only a few companies that deal in war, like some of the defense companies, and most companies deal in consumer goods and other aspects. And so they're not benefiting from the Zionist control of our society.
Okay, hold on right there, David. We do have to do a break here. Just a sec. We'll come right back and pick it up there with David Duke. And his website again is davidduke.com. Back with David Duke, talking about very important issues, and it doesn't matter what organization or tribe would be involved, we would be talking about it the same way.
Sure.
In this particular instance, we're talking about a 2,000-year-old conspiracy to literally rule the world, and they have essentially accomplished that, with the exception of Russia, India, although they're heavily penetrated in India, and China. And they are penetrating China. So it's pretty close to a Zionist world.
Well, it really is. And it sounds crazy. It sounds like a science fiction movie. But it's really, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. But yes, I mean, they really have this messianic idea that they have some sort of a right to rule the world. And it's amazing. It's an amazing issue. And even Judaism itself is really different than any other religion on the planet. It is really about an ethnic supremacism, and it's about, in fact, it's really more about, and this may sound strange, it's really more about the worship of Jews than it is about the worship of God. I'll give you an example. There was a very fine article in the New York Times News Service, also in USA Today News Service, written by Jewish researchers all about the structure of synagogues today in America. And in the article, it states matter-of-factly that 50% of the Jewish members of the synagogues in the United States are open atheists. And then
that is a shocker. That's amazing.
50% are open atheists. And the article goes on to show how that they're welcomed in the synagogues. They're open atheists. They're welcomed in the synagogues. They literally often lead the Jewish prayers in the synagogues. And many of them actually have controlling factors in the boards and the people that control the synagogues themselves. Now, boy, that's an amazing thought. I mean, could you imagine a Christian church, as a Catholic church, welcoming people who are open atheists to get up and preach a lay sermon, or to lead in prayers? Could you imagine? And that's because Judaism is far more about really Jewish supremacy than the supremacy of God or the rule of God. That's what's amazing about it. I mean, give me an example. I saw an interview that day. You can see it yourself. And by the way, people can join me on my radio show and listen to get all the details for a lot of these things. I come on at 11 a.m. Eastern time, in appropriate times anywhere in the world. Tomorrow I have on Dr. Patrick Slattery, a former, again, Ivy League professor, and we get into a lot of good discussions. Tomorrow we're going to talk about some in-depth aspects of how the media control works and some of the how that affects our perceptions in life. But anyway, going back to it, the amazing thing is that this one rabbi at this big Jewish conference, it was called the Secular Conference of both Jewish religious people of all stripes and non-Jews, non-religious Jews coming together. It's on. You can watch it on YouTube. It's a guy named Manus Friedman, by the way, who was the rabbi to Bob Dylan, a very famous rabbi. And by the way, he's the rabbi that said that he believed in fighting wars. He was talking about the Gazans. He said, well, he believed in fighting wars in the Jewish way, the old-fashioned Jewish way. Kill the men, the women, the children, and the cattle. That's the kind of guy he is. But he gives a story of Moses, a famous story, an apocryphal story, of Moses going to Mount Sinai. And he gives the Jewish commentary. The Talmud is the commentary of the Torah. And that's the ultimate source for Jews, is the Talmud. And he talks about the fact that Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai, and God says, I've made up my mind. I'm going to wipe out the Jewish people for their insatiable wickedness and their evil. I'm just going to wipe them all out and start again, you know, with another people. You know, and you can lead this other people. I'm going to wipe them out. And Manus Friedman, the rabbi, says, and Moses says to God, he says, well, if you go against the Jews, he said, you might as well kill me because I go with them against you. I mean, this is the supposed story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, then God said, well, that's good. That's what I wanted to hear from you, you know, which is kind of crazy. And in fact, I don't know how you talk that out of anything anyway. The whole thing doesn't make too much sense. But the point is that here's the story that he shared that when God said he was going to kill all the Jews, Moses said, well, you're going to have to go against me. And, you know, I'm going to go against you. You know, it's the Jews were put ahead of God. And that's exactly what it is. And that's why there's atheists in the synagogue. It's really about the supremacy and the power of the Jewish people. It's not about worshiping God or doing the will of God. Interesting story, isn't that, Jeff?
It certainly is. You don't hear that too often.
It's shocking. I'm going to actually put up a link to that video. He was actually talking about family life in the process, and he related the story that the whole thing, the important thing then is not following God or obeying God right in front of you. The important thing is being loyal to the Jewish people. And that's why atheist Jews are in there giving.
That's remarkable. 50%.
They see the religion, they believe or not.
Uh-huh.
They see the religion as a cohesive glue,
which
maintains their supremacy.
Yeah, but 50%.
That doesn't mean that every Jew that goes to synagogue is a bad person. But I'm just telling you, this is the basis of what Judaism.
No. All right, so half of them, approximately, are practicing avowed atheists.
Yeah, our public, our proclaimed, self-proclaimed open atheists.
Uh huh. Wow.
And that's members of synagogues.
All right. Now, what I've said for years is that none of this is ever going to change unless Jews of good conscience in the tribe, in the group, in the movement, take the lead and help roll back the curtains that are obfuscating and obscuring this astonishing greed and lust for total control, which is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the help of people like Gilad Atzmon and others to make this work. Otherwise, it's too easy for them to paint themselves out as, once again, the victim, which we can't tolerate.
I think it's really great that you have a few Jewish defectors, but I think they're survival.
As Europeans,
as Africans, as Asians, as free people. And by the way, as you know, the media always, the Jewish media all calls me the ultimate racist. As you know, and you know me very well, I'm the opposite of a racist. In fact, I believe in the right of every race, every people to be free and independent, to not be controlled. I believe the best qualified person should go as far as their ability warrants. I believe that people should have respect for another, not these Zio wars of oppression and exploitation of what.
Look how many people were lost in the last century, over 150 million at the hands of tribal bankster wars.
The Zionists, absolutely. In fact, they had specific goals. The First World War had a lot to do with the creation of the State of Israel. You know, that's one way that they got the British over the barrel, because the Jews promised them America into the war, which the British needed, in favor of giving Palestine. In fact, that's admitted in Jewish writings. The Second World War, well, we know what that was about. You know, the Jews were determined to destroy their biggest enemy, and they used us to do it. And 54 million people in the world were killed because of that war. That war could have been avoided, and it should have been avoided. You know, it was a horrific war that.
Well, Charles Lindbergh knew.
Sure.
There was an American Bund that was very much against the war. They knew.
In the class of civilizations, it's just amazing. You know, and the truth is, I mean, European Americans, they try to, you know, they got all the African Americans hating European Americans, white Americans, when the people really damaging them, you know, are not European Americans. It's not European Americans who are the elite anymore of America. They don't run Harvard. They don't run the media. They certainly don't run the government. They certainly, whites are not in charge of America if the government allows this massive immigration that'll make whites a tiny minority. Well, obviously. And who's harming the African American community? Well, it's the same Jewish media that's pushing their kids to alcohol abuse, drug abuse. How many millions of black kids are enslaved by drugs? And we talk about the violence. It's not Trayvon Martins. Most Trayvon Martins are killed not by some white dude on the street somewhere. They're killed by fellow blacks because of this culture of rap music and violence and blood of the media, and a lot of European Americans too. I've done this, and the anti-white hate that's promoted in black community. It's not black people. The movie Django Unchained, where you have this black guy shooting down massive numbers of evil white people, mm-hmm. you know, and the black hero saying, "Kill white people and get paid for it." You know, yeah. What could be better than that? You know what I mean? And this is done by the Weinstein brothers because they don't want African Americans to realize the people who are really hurting them. You know, they don't want European Americans to realize who's really hurting them. You know, when I was in the House of Representatives in Louisiana, I worked very hard on the welfare program, welfare reform. I think welfare obviously is a big ripoff for a lot of people. There's a
sure.
lot of fraud in it and everything.
Right.
But, you know, welfare fraud is nothing. I mean, it's a toothpick in the Pacific Ocean compared to the ripoffs of the international Jewish banks.
Yeah, Wall Street, come on, just Wall Street alone.
Toothpick.
Trillions and trillions of dollars. You just made the point earlier how the Fed gave away $20 trillion. Come on, there's no comparison. This other thing about atheism, David, there's something here. When you are so much enamored of yourself and your tribe, and you worship yourself and the tribe so much, where is there room for a God? That's the problem. These people, these atheists, actually worship themselves.
Well, they do. They really... And that's what they say in the Talmud. It says, if you strike a Jew, you're striking God. And I can show you in my book, Jewish Supremacism, which I hope every one of your listeners has read by now. Go to my site and get it if you haven't read it yet. You can even listen to it for free in the process of listening to My Awakening. You know, there's no question about the fact that they're really worshiping the Jewish people. They say, in fact, that all Jews are from a godlike substance, you know, protoplasm, and all Gentiles are from the satanic sources. They literally say Jews are God, and that's really amazing to me. And it's not all Jews say that, but the hardcore essence of Judaism says that. And the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardic rabbi, and by the way, we always hear about the Ashkenazi, about the Khazars and all mm-hmm. that. Well, the chief Sephardic rabbi, and the Sephardics have no relation to the Ashkenazis, whatever, and they're half of Israel. He had a big sermon the other day, and he talked about the fact that Gentiles are like all Gentiles, which is you folks out there listening, most of you, that you're like donkeys, that the purpose of the Jew is to be an effendi, a master, and to sit and eat, and the purpose of the Gentiles is to work, deceive, to bind, to sow. And while the Jews sit and eat. I mean, this is what he said, and he said the purpose of Jews is to serve, the purpose of Gentiles, all Gentiles on earth is to serve Jews. And I guess you can see that in the
well, it's certainly working out that way in a de facto sense, whether it's planned or not, and we all know, I think it is planned. Dave, we're out of time. We've got to close this up.
Conspiracy. That, and the other things are just the mechanisms and the tools of the conspiracy. That's the real conspiracy that's destroying the freedom and the life and the future of the people of the planet Earth, including
that's right.
America.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you, David. I'll talk to you soon, huh?
You're welcome. And I enjoy your show, and I know that you have to join me on my show one of these days, maybe next week, huh?
Yeah, you let me know. I'll be there.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Night. Take care. Okay, that's a controversial hour. And again, I would call on all Jews of good conscience and faith to step up and disavow this kind of greed and lust. And let's break that stereotype down and liberate all peoples of all faiths and all religions so we can truly be equal on this planet to the best of our abilities, at the very least. All right, we'll be right back.